Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to silverradio.fm. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to silverradio.fm, podcasting in 0.99995. I'm Jim Goddard. My guest is John Robino, author of several books on the economy, including The Money Bubble. He founded the website dollarcollapse.com. You can find him on Substack at robino.substack.com. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim.
Has the Fed given up on cutting rates this year? If so, why? And what does it mean for precious metals?
Well, you know, they just might have, because inflation isn't trending back down as far as it has to. And some of the most recent inflation reports in the U.S. were, you know, headline number of 3-ish and some core metrics approaching 8%. And they tend to look at the core numbers in inflation, where they take out the volatile stuff like food and energy. They tend to consider them better indicators of long-term trends. And, you know, if the stuff you're using as a long-term trend indicator is saying 8%, there's trouble. And I think the Fed is responding to that. Originally, we were going to get 6 rate cuts this year. Then it went down to 3, and now there's a debate whether the next rate cut will be in next spring. So I think what that means is that we're in the higher for longer until something breaks space again. We were there, and then it looked like we came out of it into maybe a soft landing, and now we're back into higher for longer, because the 10-year Treasury in the U.S. is 4.6 or 4.7%. Now it's heading for 5, which means mortgages in the U.S. are going to be in the 7s or low 8s. And that's brutal for anything that has to be leveraged. You know, all of real estate is going to hate this, and the leveraged speculating community in general is going to suffer. So we could cause some kind of a big crisis, but the Fed feels like that's the price it has to pay in order to keep inflation from spiraling out of control. So here we are, you know, in one of those boxes that we said would eventually happen, where the Fed just can't get out, and that's where we are.
Gold is at new all-time highs, but silver is not. Silver's starting to outpace gold in percentage terms. Do you expect that to continue?
Intermittently, yes. There are reasons to be worried about the economy, some of which I just talked about, and they would impact silver, because silver is part industrial metal, part monetary metal. So neither of those things do well in an equities bear market and a deflationary environment like we would have if there's a big equities bear market. So silver isn't guaranteed to do anything in a straight line. But I think, generally speaking, we're entering the phase of the precious metals market where silver will do better in percentage terms than gold, because it's relatively cheap. And gold is expensive in a lot of people's minds. Now, you look at a Krugerrand, one little gold coin, and it's $2,500. So you can get an awful lot of silver for $2,500. And that's part of what's driving silver demand right now and silver prices. And other parts are that silver goes into a lot of industrial products. It's in solar panels and it's in electric cars. And the military uses for silver are apparently immense. The stats for like a torpedo, how much silver is in a torpedo, is really high. It's a lot of silver. So to the extent that we're, trying our best to start World War III, that's probably a good thing for silver demand, which could be driving silver prices too. So we'll see. But I think the story for silver even with the possibility of corrections along the way, is spectacular. You know, if we don't see $100 U.S. silver in this cycle, I'll be really surprised.
What are some of the factors driving silver demand?
Well, you know, I tend to think that the substitution of silver for gold is a big deal, because India's silver demand in the last year, or silver imports, excuse me, in the last year was up like 260% in February year over year. So what's happening there is probably instead of giving gold as wedding gifts for spring weddings, they're giving silver. And then there was a story out just the other day, and I think it was Egypt, but it might have been Turkey, but it was one of these two countries. And the headline was, "Silver is the New Gold." And they were talking about how there's sort of a package, a gold-related product package that they give to brides for their wedding. And that package is getting too expensive. So they're switching to silver so they can give a lot more metal and jewelry and stuff like that for the same amount of money. So that's the kind of thing that happens when gold gets expensive, and we're seeing it around the world. There are just so many different factors.
Is the fact that Walmart and Costco are now selling silver coins and bars important?
Very important. They're still selling silver, gold too, and Costco is apparently selling $200 million worth of gold bars every month. You know, that's an amazing number for a source of demand that didn't even exist a few years ago. You know, Costco just started doing this, and they're also selling silver coins. So is Walmart. I bought some silver rounds on Walmart the other day as a test, and it was extremely easy. You go to walmart.com, you pick the thing out, it goes in your shopping cart, you click checkout, and it's done, and then 2 days later, it comes to your door. So Walmart and Costco have turned precious metals into impulse buys. Our Costco here in Squim, Washington, has a flyer that they tape to the checkout kiosk, or to the cash register thing that sticks up, and it's basically an ad for their gold bars. So you can, I guess, as you're checking out, you can go, "Hey, toss in one of those gold bars," you know, and they add $2,000 to your credit card and they give you a gold bar. So making it really easy to buy when it's something that is really an emotional purchase in a lot of cases. Anyhow, you know, gold and silver are hypnotic. They're so gorgeous. People buy them emotionally rather than rationally in a lot of cases. And making it an impulse buy at the checkout counter of Costco is apparently driving big sales. So, yeah, I think both silver and gold are really going to benefit from the fact that it's all of a sudden really easy to buy. And so every time there's some kind of a news item that comes out that implies that inflation is picking up, or the world is getting more chaotic, or gold and silver are rising and maybe you won't be able to get it if you don't buy it now, that, you know, people who see that and then go to Costco or go to Walmart.com are much more likely to buy gold and silver than they would have been otherwise.
Is $100 silver possible over the next few years?
Absolutely. And there are two or three different ways that the math works. And I think the simplest is that gold does what it should do and goes up to $4,000 or $5,000 an ounce. And silver outperforms gold in percentage terms along the way. In other words, typical precious metals bull market. And the gold to silver ratio gets down into the 30s or 40s. And that right there takes you above $100 an ounce for silver. And those are not crazy things to happen. We've had lots of assets double or triple or quadruple in this cycle. And so there's no reason that gold can't double from here, especially with all the crazy things going on in the world. And then if that happens, silver almost kind of has to go to $100 an ounce. If it didn't, there would be this really outlandish gold to silver ratio that it just wouldn't be likely for that part of the cycle. So yeah, I think stackers out there expect your silver stack to do very, very well in the next few years.
We'll have more with John Rubino right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to SilverRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with John Rubino. John, are the silver miner stocks good investments at today's levels?
I think they are, because they really, I mean, they're starting to rise a little bit now, but they really haven't rocked the way they ought to in a precious metals bull market. Normally, gold does its thing, and silver outperforms gold in percentage terms, and the miners outperform the underlying metals in percentage terms. So the miners ought to be doing better than everything right now. They're not. And part of that is because mining has gotten very expensive. Energy costs are up, labor costs are up. So mines aren't making the new prices at which they can sell gold and silver dollar for dollar. You know, they sell their metal at a higher price, but then their costs have gone up some big percentage of the higher price. And that means their margins don't widen out the way they would normally if costs were stable while gold and silver were going up. So the miners aren't going to make the crazy amounts of money that you would expect them to make when gold and silver start rising. However, there's a point at which gold and silver go up enough to completely offset the rising costs and then some, and then the miners start reporting good earnings, surprisingly good earnings, and that gets the investment community interested. So they, based on earnings surprises, they buy the gold and silver miners, and then the miners go up, and then that gets the attention of the momentum traders who don't even care about gold or silver, but they see this number going up on their screens, then they buy in. So in the end, you get higher gold and silver mining stock prices, and maybe enough that they outperform the metals.
What's the latest on silver miners and the Mexican government?
There's no recent news, but the last I heard, the Mexican government was talking about banning open pit mining. That would be terrible. Or put it this way, it would be great for the price of silver, because that would limit the supply of silver coming out of mines, but it would be bad for the miners that have mines in Mexico. All of a sudden, well, geopolitical risk is already a more serious than usual thing. As we talked about before we went live, Panama closed one of the world's biggest copper mines. That's the kind of thing that really sends shockwaves through a market. So if Mexico was to do something to impair some of the big silver mines, then the price of silver would go through the roof. So now you want to respond to that by buying physical silver, right? We just want to own the silver, own the metal, and then let geopolitics do whatever it's going to do. And it's kind of it's a mixed bag. You don't want to see geopolitical turmoil. However, you profit from it. So that takes a little of the sting out of, a coup in some African country or, us doing something in the Middle East that screws up oil traffic, whatever. You want to own physical in a situation where the supply chains of whatever it is you're buying in physical form might be impaired, because then you actually make money, because the existing stock of silver or gold or whatever will go up in value.
Do you think there's a lot of counterfeit silver on the market?
You hear about stuff like that, but I don't have any firsthand experience with it. But I would say the fact that it's possible to counterfeit physical silver is a good reason to stick with very trustworthy sources. So if you've got a coin dealer that you go to and you know really well and you trust them, then that's one way of protecting yourself against counterfeit, because you can probably count on your coin dealer, who has years of experience, to be able to detect counterfeits. And if you buy some online, for instance, Costco and Walmart, they go through APMEX for their fulfillment and their precious metals. And APMEX has been around for a long time. So you know, there's the reputational damage that would be done to them if they sold counterfeit coins would be catastrophic. So you can bet that they're taking a lot of measures to make sure that they only sell, you know, they only buy from mints they trust, and they keep track of it, you know. And so that's how you protect yourself. You just buy from trusted sources. You know, don't go on eBay or something like that and buy coins from somebody who doesn't have like 5 years of perfect ratings on eBay. And even then, you know, they can be total strangers. Better somebody you've talked to and you know, just in case.
Well, one of the world's biggest precious metal scams was the U.S. government returning Germany's gold to it. And Germany found out that they got a bunch of tungsten bars with gold plate. And it took a long time for the U.S. to actually ship the real gold to them.
Well, you notice I didn't say buy from a government that you trust.
Yeah.
that's an oxymoron. You know, do not trust your government, at least not the U.S. government. I'm sure there are trustworthy governments in the world, but ours lies and cheats and kills. And we got a nasty government, and you certainly don't want to buy the bedrock asset for your financial life from those guys. So you have to assume that APMEX or whoever Costco buys its gold and silver from are going out of their way to make sure that everything's legit. And there, you know, there's no guarantee of anything in life, but the guys who would be hurt most by being caught selling counterfeit coins and bars are the ones that are, because of that, the most trustworthy. You know, they've got the most skin in this game, and it's most likely of everybody that they will be paying good attention.
In order of which you like best, silver bullion, silver coins, silver ETFs, silver miners, the majors, mid-tiers, and juniors.
Well, see, now this depends on where you are personally in your monetary journey. If you don't have, if you just got a bank account, you don't have any kind of precious metals, then you go with bullion to start. You know, you need to buy physical, you need to keep it in a safe place, and that's your generational wealth there. That, you know, envision that helping your grandkids out of a jam 50 years from now. Okay, so if you don't have any of that, you get that right away. And then from there, you step up in terms of distance, but start with physical first. Because, you know, you can buy silver ETFs that are physical. Sprott has one, which I own a fair bit of, where they buy a bunch of silver, they put it in a vault. So it's not yours. You can't just go pick it up because it's in another room of your house or something like that. But it's in an insured vault maintained by a company that is kind of one of us. You know, Sprott is basically commodities people. And so you can to an extent trust them. And there are other secure storage places out there. So if it's not a Sprott ETF, look at, you know, Texas has a state-run gold and silver vault. And I trust Texas's government way more than I trust the U.S. government. So that's something you can do. Okay, and then from there, you can look at silver miners. And you want to start with the high-quality names like and there's just a handful of big miners in the silver space, right? So you grab a few of those, the ones that are the highest quality silver miners, and then you work your way down to or maybe a silver miner ETF, because that's a pretty simple prospect. SIL is one of the big silver miner ETFs, and, you know, there's only 10 or 15 real names in the silver space. So SIL has an easy job. They go out and buy those 10 or 15 names and then round it out with a few smaller names, and that's their ETF. So you can buy that as your introduction to mining stocks. And then once you've got all of this other stuff done, then you start thinking about juniors and exploration companies and things like that. That's your speculation money. But some of those things will go up 1,000%. So there is life-changing money to be made in a well-chosen portfolio of junior miners and developers and explorers. But you need advice for that. You can't just go out and buy something that's small and has silver in its name. That's not a good strategy. So, you know, watch Rick Rule's interviews and look at the ETFs. Look at actively managed precious metals ETFs and see what they own. That's at least something that was picked by a professional. And then you can buy them for yourself. And after you're done with all of that stuff, you know, that's going to take a while. So probably silver will be $100 an ounce. And then we'll be talking about what to sell first. enjoy that journey. It's going to be a lot of fun, I predict.
John, where's the best place for people to follow you?
I'm at rubino.substack.com, and I have a newsletter there that focuses on precious metals, but also on a lot of the other kinds of prepping you can do to get ready for what ought to be a chaotic decade.
John, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good talking to you.
My guest has been John Rubino. His website, or he founded the website dollarcollapse.com, and as he just mentioned, you can find him on Substack at rubino.substack.com. If you have any questions for John or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on SilverRadio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. SilverRadio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.